God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, you spoke your word in creation. You came and lived as a living word in Christ, and through your Spirit you still speak to our hearts. So we pray that this morning, in all that we think and say, that you will be glorified and we will hear your word through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Discipleship. In 2 weeks' time, the UK will host the 26th United Nations Climate Change Conference of the Parties. That's where the COP comes from, Conference of the Parties, number 26. It'll be held in Glasgow from the 31st of October to the 12th of November. The summit is there to bring parties together to bring forth action on the goals that were set in Paris in 2015. More than 190 world leaders will participate. We must pray that some of the more significant ones who seem loath to come will actually attend. Along with them will be tens of thousands of negotiators, government representatives, businesses and citizens for those 12 days of talks. But talks and conferences are one thing. Action is something else. It is costly and it involves sacrifices. As Prince Charles said in an interview last week, as Prince William added in these last few days, and as the Queen was overheard to say in Cardiff. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change have recently confirmed that if we want to avoid the worst impacts of global climate change, then carbon emissions need to be cut by 45% by 2030. Well, that's a great ambition, but sadly, the analysis that we have of what is happening as we continue to pump out carbon dioxide and methane into the atmosphere, that those emissions are likely to rise by 16% in the same period. Well, that could raise the temperature to 2.7 degrees centigrade above pre-industrial times, nearly double the limit that has been set by the international community. So this is a great concern, and if we don't have the sustained and radical reductions in our emissions, then we will not prevent severe climate consequences and suffering. And that especially, of course, affects the most vulnerable in our world. And you only need to Google and see what a half meter rise in sea level will mean for some of the poorest countries in the world, to say nothing of the City of London, of course. For the richer nations, the challenge for governments is to take courage. They're courageous and unpopular decisions of living sustainably, and it will involve sacrifice. Maybe it's time to listen to climate activists. I'm not suggesting it's a good idea to block motorways, but actually there may be other things that we could do to draw attention to the public and government. The Bible records that many of God's prophets were ignored or shut up in prison. Greta Thunberg, the 18-year-old Swedish climate activist, observed that the COP meetings are crucial and that they are incredibly important, but that we can have as many of these meetings and conferences as we want, but as long as we're not really treating the climate crisis as a crisis, we won't see any real changes coming from them. She criticizes our government for a lack of honesty, committing to net zero emissions by 2050, while at the same time considering the possibility of opening new coal mines, or as the gas prices go up, suggesting that we actually revert and think about fracking once again. She said it doesn't really mean much when you do these things at the same time as you make promises. Well, the Queen, at the opening of the Senedd, the Welsh Parliament, said exactly the same thing. It doesn't really matter much if you don't do anything. And Prince William on Thursday suggested that trying to repair this planet was more important than trying to find the next planet to go and live on. Or for a 90-year-old Star Trek actor going on a, what was it, half an hour? Or was it less than that, a trip to space? What is a Christian perspective? Well, Pope Francis, in his encyclical, Laudate Si' Mi Signor, which was coincided with the 2015 Paris Climate Summit, said all life gives glory to God, and God cares for every single aspect of creation. The Pope recognizes the seriousness of global environmental crisis, but he really wanted to concentrate on the implications of that crisis for the poor and the disadvantaged. And he identified the human causes and laid the blame fairly and squarely on the activities of the developed world. And he challenged world leaders to avoid a short-term outlook that has dominated politics, maintaining that we recognize that the destruction and wanton disregard of our environment, be it emissions into the atmosphere or be it plastic pollution of the oceans, it's a sin against ourselves because it is actually destroying our lives. And it is also a sin against God. And he observed that the world leaders fail to hear the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor. He concludes that in the meantime, economic powers continue to justify the current global system where priority continues to be given to speculation and the pursuit of financial gain. And they fail to take the context into account, let alone the effects on human dignity and the natural environment. So we need a Christ-like attitude. We need a Christ-like attitude that recognizes that all people are created in the image of God. Nobody is superfluous. None of God's creation is, because God values the whole of creation. And we understand from the writings of the New Testament, as St. Paul says, that all things are created, redeemed, and reconciled in Christ. The earth is to be seen as a collective good, a shared inheritance, and it offers fundamental rights, not only to us, but to the voiceless, to the poor. We must consider what kind of world we want to leave for those who come after us. David and Marjorie have just celebrated becoming great grandparents. So they have yet another soul to think about who will come after them. And many of the rest of us have grandchildren to think about. The Pope challenges us to a conversion whereby the effects of our encounter with Christ become evidence in the way in which we treat God's creation. And he calls us to find joy and peace in a life of simplicity, with love overflowing in our acts of care for creation. A sacrificial lifestyle on a journey towards a Sabbath of eternity. So, sacrificial discipleship. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Sir David Amiss MP, sadly, had his life cut short on Friday, killed while holding his regular constituency surgery. The people of Southend mourn the death of their MP, who served all the people, was known to be committed to listening to everyone. A committed Roman Catholic, Sir David Amiss supported the rights of car workers to a fair pension. He campaigned against animal cruelty. He supported the rights of the unborn child and was concerned for home insulation for the poorest. Maybe he would have been supporting those who tried to stick their hands to the road, I don't know. But he was known as Mr. Southend, and we have seen genuine sadness from his constituents. For Mark, writing his account of the gospel, discipleship involves a response to the revelation of God in Christ. The gospel turns around on this central chapter, chapter 8, where we find Peter's confession. Who do you say that I am? Jesus, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And we find here Jesus' first prediction of his passion. Discipleship is grounded in faith in God. It's a response of obedience to God. It's an example of the way that Jesus lived. We are disciples invited to follow in Jesus' footsteps. Our reading this morning comes from the end of a carefully crafted section of three predictions of Jesus' passion. Following each of the passion pronouncements, Jesus instructs his disciples on the implication of the passion for their lives. And we recognize that what we believe matters, and it shapes the way we conduct our lives. MPs of both Conservative and Labour this morning on Politics Live in the East were saying that Sir David Amos lived out his Catholic faith. He lived out what he believed. However, the disciples don't understand. There is a recurring pattern of revelation to the disciples, followed by misunderstanding, self-centeredness, and even cowardice. After each passion prediction, they show themselves blind and hard-hearted. The first passion prediction in Mark chapter 8, before we have the healing of the man born blind and the confession of Jesus as Messiah. But then afterwards, Peter fails to understand what messiahship is, and his own self-centered view was, well, Jesus, you mustn't suffer. We're looking for you to be a victorious Messiah. And the second passion prediction in Mark chapter 9, before it, we have the transfiguration when Jesus is transfigured on the mountaintop with Moses and Elijah. And that's followed by the healing of the boy with the evil spirit. But then afterwards, after Jesus has then said again about the fact that he would be crucified and 3 days later he would rise again, well, the disciples don't understand what he's talking about. And they simply, what do? Well, they argue about, well, who's the most important of us 12? Great. And then the third passion prediction in Mark chapter 10, before it is the encounter of Jesus with the rich young man and the question about how do I inherit eternal life? And afterwards, as we have read this morning, James and John's failure to understand the nature of the kingdom that Jesus is talking about. And it's accompanied by their own desire to have important positions. Can I sit on your right and he on your left in your kingdom? And of course, when we think about it with Peter, we're not comfortable with a suffering Jesus. Lord, you mustn't suffer. Mustn't happen to you. And with all the disciples, we can argue about who's the best. Which amongst us is the best? And with James and John, we can be concerned about self-importance and status. But we're called to deny self and to follow Jesus' example of a cross-shaped, sacrificial lifestyle. So what does this mean? As you and I will listen to endless discussions and commentaries on COP26. It started a few weeks ago and the conference doesn't begin until the end of this month. Are we enraged by protesters holding up our journeys as we burn fossil fuel on the fast-flowing motorways? Or are we glad that somebody is challenging the government to take action on their pledges to address climate change? There is, of course, no simple answer. As fuel prices go up and the cost of buying a new electric car is prohibitive for most people, as the knock-on costs of food and housing and clothing dramatically affect the poorest paid, the care workers, the hospital staff? Well, there's bound to be. Logic tells us taxes will have to go up if we are going to enable many in our society to survive, let alone live at the standard to which many of us have become accustomed. We ask ourselves the question, will I vote for and support a government that addresses the issues and raises taxes to fulfill its pledges? It was Margaret Thatcher who said that she knew about balancing the household budget. If this much comes in, not more than that can go out. So if you want to do more things, more must come in. And this is before, of course, we look beyond our own shores and bring our level of overseas aid up to 0.7% of GDP, from the 5% it's been knocked down to. And how we consider the effects of COVID and the need for vaccinations across the world, with often the poorest nations suffering the worst. And of course it leads to numerous migrants crossing the English Channel. In the words of Bob Dylan's song, Blowing in the Wind, how many years must a mountain exist before it's washed to the sea? And how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times can a man turn his head pretending he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. Yes, and how many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? And how many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer, blowing in the wind. Well, I sincerely pray that COP26 will not be another case of blowing in the wind. We must all act. And now. Amen. May it be so.